Okay, today's daf is Chulin daf Ayin Zayin. We are holding on daf Ayin Vav and Beis. This is the last daf of the fourth parak of Maseches Chulin. We're holding about 11 lines from the end of the page at the very end of the line, Tanu Rabbanan. So what we're going to discuss now is what happens if a bone is broken and the bone is sticking outside of the skin. So the Mishnah had said that if basar covers the majority of it, then the animal is still not a trefa. So we're going to have to define, what does it mean, rov basar kayam? How do we measure rov basar? Then the Gemara is going to talk about what counts as basar. Is the R considered to be basar? What if it's covered but not by flesh, it's covered by skin? Or what if the basar is damaged in some way? Is that basar still considered to be basar that covers the rove that would save it from being a trefa? And that discussion is going to take us all the way to the Mishnah on Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. And that Mishnah is going to discuss the status of the amniotic sac of a shechted animal and of an animal of kachim and of a bechar, a behema mevakeres, whether the amniotic sac is considered to be, it's always considered to have a vlad inside of it, and therefore it's considered to be nolad. Can you eat the amniotic sac that's still inside the part of it that's still inside the animal when some of it came out of the animal? So that's going to be the Mishnah on Ayin Zayin. Then the Gemara is going to talk about the skin of a chamor, whether a chamor skin can ever have tumas ochin or tumas nevela if you cook it really slowly and soften it up to the point where it becomes edible. And we're also going to talk about the status of the amniotic sac when we see that a vlad has remained inside of the animal. The Mishnah talks about an amniotic sac when you don't see a vlad. So what assumptions you have to make about a vlad? But what if you see that there's still a vlad inside of the animal? So you're pretty sure that this amniotic sac is just that. It's not a vlad. So that's going to be discussed in the Gemara. And then the very last discussion of the parak is going to be about what is included in the Isser of Darkei Ha'emori, and that anything that's yesh b'mishum refua is ain b'mishum darkei ha'emori. That's something that's there that serves a therapeutic value is not considered to be a violation of darkei ha'emori. So let's begin again, 11 lines from the end of the page on daf ayin vavam beis. At the end of the line, Tanu Rabbanan. So Bryce says as follows: Tanu Rabbanan nishbara etzem v'yatzal l'chutz. A bone breaks and it protrudes outside of the animal, so you see bone. Im oru basar chovnes rubo, if skin and flesh cover the majority of the shever, of the broken part of the bone, then mutter, it's going to be mutter im lav. But if rov of the shever is not covered by aru basar, then aser, then we assume that it's going to be aser. V'kama rubo, how do we measure what's considered a majority of the shever? So two possibilities. Kiyas Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and he quoted in the name of Rav Yochanan that you need rov ovio, that the or and the basar have to cover the majority of the thickness of the bone, meaning if rov of the chalal ha'etzem, meaning if you were to crack the bone, the surface that is now revealed from the crack is covered by basar and or, that's when we consider it to be covered. The amrilan, some say no, rov ha'kefo means the majority of the circumference of the bone around the bone. Only then that's what's considered rov. Amar Rav Papa. Hilkach b'inan rov ovio, u'b'inan rov hakefo. That we need both. We require both, that it should cover the majority of the thickness and the majority of the circumference of the bone. Only then is it going to be kosher. Amar ulam Rav Yochanan, or harehu kabasar. That if the basar is taken out from underneath the skin, but the skin is still covering the bone, that's good enough as well. The R has the same status as the basar, and the aver of the animal is going to be mutter. It's as if it's covered with basar. Amalei Rav Nachman le'ula v'leim amar or mitztarif le'basar. Why don't you say that we should say l'chumra that the or is not, cannot replace basar, cannot be in place of basar, but can only be mitztarif together with basar to cover up the shever, meaning it could be half covered by or and half covered by basar, and that's fine. But if it's covered by only or, maybe that's not okay. The or u basar katani, because the brisa doesn't say one or the other. It sounds like it's saying you require both or u basar. So it sounds like you need both of them in order to say that the behemah is going to be kosher. Samalei ani or oh, basar taninan. I had a different text of the Braisa. Not that it's ar u basar and that you need them to team up together, but one or the other. Either ar or basar is enough to be considered to be chofer rubo. Ikeda amri amar ulam Rabbi Yochanan or mitstarif lebasar. Others say that what Ula said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan was exactly that. That or could be mitstarif to the basar. That if it's half or half basar that's covering up the bone, that would be good enough. Amrle Rav Nachman leula v'lei mamar or mashlim lebasar lechumra. You should say that the rove of the covering should have to be with basar, and that or could be a little bit of it. That or can be mashlim, meaning we should be a little more machmir than that. Not only that or alone cannot be chofa the shever, but even or in combination with basar cannot be chofa unless the basar is the majority. That's what you should say, that the or can only be mitzarif as a minority. Amalei ana of the yadana. So Ula says Rav Nachman, I just know a maisa that happened where Rabbi Yochanan clearly was machshir when it was chatzi or chatzi basar, and that was good enough. Da'ubar gozla dava be Rabbi Yitzchak. There was a bird that came to Rabbi Yitzchak. The ormit starif lebasar hava, where it was 50-50. There was a break in the leg of the bird, and the rove ovio ve'akefo of the bone was covered with half basar, half or. Va'asal kamed Rabbi Yochanan va'achshir. And Rabbi Yochanan said that was good enough, that you didn't need majority basar and only minority or. Armalei bar gozla kamrit. You can bring me a raya from a bird. Bar gozla derakich shiny. The or of a bar gozal is very soft, and therefore the or itself has a din of basar. That's why Rabbi Yochanan was matir when it was half basar, half or. But maybe if it were a behema, where the or is very hard, maybe we'd be more machmir. Maybe in such a case you would need rov basar. So that's not a raya at all. The fact that you bring a raya from a bird is not a raya at all. Okay, says Gemara, Hanu Gidin Rakim Dasul Kameh de Rabba. There were cases of soft sinews that came to Rabba to discuss whether that can count as the basar that covers the shever, that covers the broken bone. Amar Rabba l'may nechoshlus. Rabba says, what should I be choshesh with these gidim to say that they're not mitzarif? Of course we should be matir them, because chadad amar Rabbi Yochanan gidin shesof en lahakshos. First of all, Rabbi Yochanan holds that soft gidin of a behema that will one day harden nimnin alayin bepesach. You can even have people register on a carbon pesach to eat those gidin, because those gidin are considered to be like meat. So you're allowed to, so everyone's got to register on the carbon pesach. They have to register to at least eat a kazayis of a carbon pesach. That's the minimum. You have to have a kazayis basar of the carbon pesach. A person can register that I'm eating the gidin of the carbon pesach. That's the part that he likes. So if it's considered basar with regard to the mitzvah of Achilles Karm Pesach, it should be considered basar with regard to the halachas of trefos, that it should be that the gidin should be mitzdarif with the basar to cover up the shever. So that's one reason that we should be making with the gidin. Va'od, and a second reason to be making with the gidin, hatorah chasal manon shal Yisrael. If we're not making with the gidin, then it's going to be a financial loss, because whenever you have a shayla like this, we're going to have to throw the animal out because it's going to be a trefa. And the Torah generally is very careful about manon shal Yisrael. We don't want to just waste the money of the Jewish people. We're very careful about saving money, about being thrifty. So the Achronim raise a question. Why does that help? Meaning, we have a Shaila Hilchos Trefas over here. Is this basar or is this not basar? So you're going to say, because I don't want to make an animal a trefa, so I'm going to change the halacha, and I'm going to say that it has a din of basar. If the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, then you don't need this reason of Torah Chasav Manu Shal Yisrael. And if we're going to say like Reish Lakish, who we're about to quote, who does not hold that the Gidim count as basar, then the Torah Chasal Manu Shal Yisrael shouldn't work at all. So the Sefer Torah Chaim suggests that maybe the Gemara was Mesupak, how we paskin about Gidim. Do we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan Lekula or like Reish Lakish Lechumra? So it gave one reason to be Mekel that according to Rabbi Yochanan it's Pashut that we could be Mekel. And even if it's only a Safek, maybe Safek, when you have a Safek, the Torah Chasal Manu Shal Yisrael helps us resolve the Safek. And then the Gemara's answer is going to be, no, it doesn't. When you have the way to resolve the suffix is suffix daraisa lechumra, suffix darbanon lekula, and that's it. If we're dealing with the din daraisa, you have to say suffix lechumra. We don't resolve the suffix by taking into account Hatorah Chasal Manav Shei Yisrael. Where does it come from, Hatorah Chasal Manav Shei Yisrael? So Rashi and Memtesan Beis quoted from a Medrash in Parshas Mitzora that it's from a pasuk by Nigei Batim, that before the Kohen is Mitame the Bayis, we remove all of the Kalim from the Bayis, that they shouldn't become Tame. The Nezek, the long-term Nezek that's going to happen is only on Klei Cheres, which are very cheap Kalim, because all the other Kalim, you could be Mitaher, you could just bring it to the Mitzvah and be Mitaher them. So how much is it already that you're losing? You're losing using some clay charis, some pieces of pottery, but nevertheless, we say, yeah, we don't want that pottery to become tame, because if that pottery becomes tame, then it's going to be there's no way to ever be able to use it. The Gemara Menachos on Ayin Vav and Beis has a different makar for Atar Chas on Monim Sheshal. The pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar Vahoseisalahem Mayim Minasela Vishkisa Esaeda Ves Biiram, that even just to feed the behemos of Kal Yisrael, Hashem was willing to do an ace to bring Mayim Min Hasela. So you see that the fact that the pasuk itself highlights that the water is not just for the people, it's for the animals as well. So you see that alone would have been a good enough reason for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do an ace. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chas Al Monam Shal Yisrael, that our flocks were our mammon, that was our that was our wealth, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was careful about that. So says the Gemara, we should be makel by the Gidim, because first of all, Rabbi Yochanan counts it as meat with regard to Korban Pesach, and second of all, HaTorah Chas Al Monam Shal Yisrael. So I'm later of Papa Le Rabba. Rav Papa says back to Rabba, Rabbi Shim Ben Lakish, wait a second. Rav Shimon Lakish disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan. He thinks that you cannot register to eat the gidin of a Korban Pesach because it does not have the status of basar. Plus, the issue we're dealing with over here is an issur d'oraisa. And so the Ran writes in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah that you see, like Rashi, that the halach is like the lashon rishon, that if you cut the etzem ha'emtsayis, the animals are trefa, because the Gemara is talking about gidim covering up the shever. If the behemoth can only become a trefa by the etzem ha'elyona, like the second lashon we had, so there are no gidim by the etzem ha'elyona. So it must be that it could be a trefa even on the etzem ha'emtsayis. But anyway, so we're dealing with an issur d'oraisa. And you're just saying my lechoshlu. So Ishtik Rabbi had nothing to respond to Rav Papa. Says Mar, why not? Vamay Ishtik. Why do you have to be quiet? Vamar Rava Hilchsa Kavasid Rav Shem Malakish Bahanitlas. That yes, we pass on Rav Shem Malakish, but only on three occasions, and this isn't one of them. So we know that the halach is like Rabbi Yochanan over here, that gidim are considered like basar legabi korban pesach, so they should be considered like basar with regard to Hilchas Trefus as well, and therefore we should have room to be makel over here. Just parenthetically, what are the three cases that we Paskin like Rabbi Shimon Malakish? None of them have anything to do with Maseches Chulin. It's a Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Lamed Vav and Beis that by Chalitza Smu Uberes, that it's not a valid Chalitza. That if you have a pregnant woman who went through a Chalitza and then she goes through a miscarriage, she's going to need another Chalitza. That Chalitza wouldn't work. And also that second halacha, that Mechalik Nechas of the Acherim has to say B'loshon Matana and not B'loshon Yerusha. That if you're giving away all of your Nechasim before you die, you can't use the Loshon Yerusha, because Yerusha only happens after you die, and it happens automatically based on the halachas of Yerusha. So you need to use the lashon of matana, that these are gifts. And the third thing about kinyan peros, that kinyan peros is lav ki kinyan aguf dami. But other than that, we never paskin like Rish Lakish. We're always going to paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. So Gemara says, no, Rabba was quiet and didn't respond to Rav Papa's attack because shayni hacha to hadbe Rabbi Yochanan gabi Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. You're right. We always paskin like Rabbi Yochanan against Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, except for those three cases. But over here, Rabbi Yochanan himself changed his mind, and Rabbi Yochanan himself held that the Gidin do not have the status of Basar, because we're going to see later on in Kuf Chav Beis and Beis that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the Or Harosh of an Egel Harach is not Mekabel Tumas Ochlin. The skin from the head of a young calf is not Mekabel Tumas Ochlin, because it's Sofa Lahaksho, so it doesn't have a din of Basar. So Yesh Lakish asks from the Mishnah that considers the Or Harosh of an Egel Harach in among those things that are Oroseim Kibsara. And the Gemara says, "Da Amar Le, Rabbi Yochanan said back to Reish Lakish, Al takni keni, al takni teni, b'lashon yachid ani shona usa. Don't bother me from that Mishnah, because I learned that Mishnah is only taught by a das yachid, and therefore we don't paskin like that Mishnah. So Rabbi Yochanan holds that anything that's sofa lahakshos, any ore that's ultimately going to harden, does not have a din of basar. So the same would also naturally be true by gidim, that he must admit that it doesn't have a din of basar, because ultimately the gidim will harden. And that's why Rabbah didn't respond to Rav Papa's attack on him, that you shouldn't be somech on Rabbi Yochanan because he changed his mind, and therefore he's not gidim are not mitzdarif to cover up the etzem, to cover up the broken bone in the world of Hilchos Treifos. Now, there was a broken bone that had protruded outside of the animal, and a little bit of the bone had fallen off. They asked Abaye, do you still say that as long as basar covers the rova etzem, it's going to be kosher, even when a piece of the bone has fallen off? So Shai Tlasa Rigli. Abaye kept the animal around to ask the Shaila for three regalim. So because around the times of the regalim is when all the chacham would get together and they would darshan and they would talk. So he thought that this was a big Shaila. This needed to be discussed among all the visiting Talmidei Chachamim. In the Panine Rashi printed on the side of the page over here, they quote from Yevamos Kuf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, where it says, Shai Talmidei Chachamim nikbatzim l'shmo drasha el chas Pesach Pesach. Shalosh Regalim means like the Regalim, that all the Talmidei Chachamim would get together to learn the halachos of the Yantif around the time of the Yantif. But then he quotes from a Tshuvas HaGaonim Matzasi, Kol Hanach Rigli Damarai Hainu Yom Shem Meispo Adam Gadol Kovmoso L'Kvodo Umidei Shana B'Shana K'shemagia Oso Yom Miskaptim Talmidei Chachamim Mikol Svivav Ubaon Al Kivro Im Shar Ha'am Lohoshev Yeshiva Sham. That it was the minhag that on a yard site of a great Talmud Chacham they would have a Yom Limud in honor of the yard site of Talmud Chacham. What greater way to honor the Talmud Chacham than to engage in Talmud Torah on the day of his yard site? So that's the Shalosh Regalim, that they wasn't Regalim on the Yom Tovim, that they waited for three yard sites where they had a special day of Yom Iyun. That's where they were ma'ayin into this shayla. So Amar Rav Ada Bar Masa. So Rav Ada Bar Masa said to the guy who owned the animal, Zil Kamei de Rava Berei de Rav Yosef Bar Chama. I'm going to tell you which rabbi you should consult with. A Rava Berei de Rav Yosef Bar Chama, because the Harifei Sakine, he has the sharpest knife, meaning he is very strong. He's very sharp in Svara, and he'll be able to figure out what the din is over here based on his koach hahesber, based on his sharpness. So also Kamei. So they brought the shayla to Rava. So Amar Michti Nishbar Etzem Yatul Chutznan. It says in the brisa that we started with that if the bone breaks and it goes outside of the skin, if rov of the basar is chofa the etzem, then it's kosher. So you see, the behemoth does not become a trefa with just a miut of the etzem. Mali nafal mali yisei. Why would I care if it fell off or if it's still there? As long as rov of the basar is chofa, you have rov basar being chofa the etzem, that's going to be good enough. And it doesn't matter if some part of it fell off. So now the Gemara is just going to raise a series of shailas of what qualifies as basar that covers the atzam. We've already discussed, does or qualify as basar? Do gidim qualify as basar? What about something that's definitely basar, but there's an issue with the basar? So we're going to raise a whole series of shailas. So mislakit mahu. The bone breaks, the basar is chofa rubo, but it's not in one place. There's a little basar here, a little basar there, a little basar there, and all combined together, it's chofa rubo, but it's not rov all continuous. So that's one shayla. Misroses mahu. If the basar is very weak and it's not thick and it covers rov of the etzem, but it's shvach basar, so is that considered basar that covers rov of the etzem that could protect it from being a trefa? Could still be considered part of the animal. Mismasmes mahu. What if the basar that covers the shever is rotted basar? Says Mar Hechidam mismasmes. How would you know? How would you define what's called mismasmes? So I'm Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua Kol Shar Rofei Kodro. If a doctor would look at it and he would remove that from with a knife, that would be a din of a rotted basar. If it were healthy flesh, the doctor would leave it there so that it can regenerate. But if it's unhealthy flesh and it's only going to spread, more unhealthiness and ultimately fall off, the doctor would just cut it off. Ibailhu, nikev mahu. What if the basar that's covering the shever has a small hole in it? So what would be the din then? Niklaf, if the basar is peeled off of the bone and it's not attached to the bone, mahu, what's the din? Is that also called rov basar? Nistak mahu, what if there's a crack along the length of the basar? Nital shlisha tachton mahu, what if the bottom third of the thickness of the basar, the part that's closest to the bone, is removed and you're only left with the outer sections of the basar that are not directly in contact with the bone? So it says, well, you know what, maybe we'll try to just answer whatever of these shailas we're able to answer. So let's start with the last one. Tashmat, da'amar ulam rabbi Yochanan, or harehu kebasar. That or is like basar. Now, if or is like basar, then certainly the two-thirds of the basar that aren't closest to the bone are like basar. Meaning the shaila was that if the basar is, let's say, 3 inches thick, and the inch that's closest to the bone is gone, do the other 2 inches count as basar covering the bone? Well, if even just R counts as covering the bone, then for sure two-thirds of the flesh will count as covering the bone. So says Mar, no, Dilma Dekana Mashka Didei. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan's talking about a case where the bone breaks in a place where there is no basar, and all there is R. It's like by a joint or something, by the ankle. I don't know if the animal is, or the equivalent of whatever an ankle is by an animal, right? So maybe over there, there's not much basar there. All there is R. That's when we say that R counts like basar that covers it. But when there is supposed to be basar, maybe when you're missing that inner third of the basar, maybe that taka would be a problem. So Amar Rav Ashi, Ki Avinu Beir Rav Papi, when I was in the Beis Medrash of Rav Papi, Ibayulan, Niktar Kamin Taba'as. If the basar is cut in a way that like a ring, where the basar is removed from the other basar that's around it, Mahu, what's the din? So you have basar covering the broken part of the bone, but the basar that's covering the broken part of the bone is not continuous with the rest of the basar of the animal, because it's cut out like a circle. You made it so the inside of the circle is the basar, but it's not going to connect to anything else. Upashitna meha. We answer the shayla meha dam rav yudam rav. Dovrza shalti l'cham l'rofim. I ask the cham, I ask the doctors. Va'amru misarto be'etzem mala arucha. That the way to heal that basar and get it to connect to the basar around it is you take a piece of bone and you cut through that basar, and then it starts to bleed a little, I guess, and it connects with the basar that's next to it. It starts scabbing and connecting with the basar that's on the other side. Avul parzla mizrav zarif. But if you were to take an instrument rather than a bone to do this cutting, then it would be disastrous. Then it will not be merape at all. Amar Rav Papa v'hudu kana garma didei. That's only when it's holding its bone. When you see that around the place of where the donut was made, where the circle was made, the basar starts connecting to the bone. So that's a simen that it's beginning to be misrape. Then when you cut a little with the bone, then you'll know that it will fully be misrape. Okay, now we move on to the discussion of the amniotic sac. Hashochet es behemah matzah b'shilya nefesh hayafa tochlena. If a person shechts a behema and he finds the amniotic sac inside of it, you're allowed to eat it, provided that you're not disgusted by it. A nefesh hayafa is tochlena. So, meaning it's considered like any other aver of the mother, and it became mutter al yedei the shechita. The simple reading of the Mishnah is that it's mutter b'achila for anybody, but stam b'nei adam might not want to eat it because of miyus. So we're saying nefesh hayafa, someone who's not disgusted by it, could eat it. And that's what the Rambam sounds like in the fifth parak of Hilchos Ma'achalos Asuros. However, in the Yamshel Shlomo, in the third parak, in Siman Kuf Yates, when it talks about Beitzim Amuzaros, the Yamshel Shlomo writes that a stam person is not allowed to eat it because it's a violation of the Isra of Bal Teshaktsu. But if you happen to not be disgusted by it, so it's not Bal Teshaktsu for you, and therefore you're allowed to eat it, which I think we discussed at the time, is a very interesting idea. It's saying that Bal Teshaktsu is not like it's not a universal thing. It really depends on the person. There are certain things that disgust some people and not others, and it's only going to be a violation of Bal Teshaktsu if you find it disgusting. But if you don't find it disgusting, then it won't be Bal Teshaktsu for you. I think Rav Moshe Feinstein writes this way in a tshuva as well. So this is a discussion that poskim have, because the Torah writes in Hilchos Pesach that if you have a bag of flour and tarnagolim sat on it and the kemach became dirty from the tzoas ha-tarnagolim, that it's not machmitz, but you should throw it away. And the reason to throw it away, machlokas bach and the taz. The bach writes because it became disgusting and it's aser mishum bal teshaktsu. The taz writes that since you need the matzah l'tzorach mitzvah and of achilas matzah or the mitzvah sudas yom tov, it's not appropriate to use something that had tzoas tarnagolim because hakriven olav hachasecha, it's derech bizayon to do a mitzvah that way, but not bal teshaktsu. So maybe that's the issue, or maybe that's part of the issue. If you don't find it disgusting, is it bal teshaktsu for you? I saw interesting the Stechemet in the Klalim has a discussion of why it is that the Torah changes the lashon of the Torah. The Gemara changes the lashon of the Torah. The Torah doesn't say bal teshaktsu; it says lo teshaktsu, and we do it all the time. Bal yira, bal yimatzeh. Bal Tosif, Bal Tigra, right? Why are we always using the word Bal as opposed to what's wrong with the word Lo? The Torah uses the word Lo. That's the way we always have it. And whatever klal you're going to have, whatever you're going to come up with as to why it is that we sometimes use Bal and sometimes use Lo, you're going to have to contend with the Gemara at the end of Bamitzia. The Gemara in Bamitzia Kufir Alf and Beis tells us that someone who's Kovish Schar Sachir is over al Chamisha Lavin in one assay. What are the Chamisha Lavin? Bal Tashok Esreacha, Bal Tigzal, Bal Tashok Scharani, Bal Tolin, Biyomo Titin Scharos the Assay, and Lo Savol of Hashemesh. So that's a little bit strange. Why would it four out of the five Los Assays, it changes it to Bal, and one of them it has Lo? It's just an interesting discussion that the Stechem would have. I was Lav Dafka, you know, whatever. I would think it doesn't really matter that there's no, you know, it's just a way of saying it in Aramaic as opposed to saying it in Hebrew. And sometimes it uses Lashon HaKra, sometimes it doesn't. But he suggests that maybe the four Lavin that the Gemara quotes B'Lashon Bal are Lavin that involve actual Maisa. But the one of that involves a that says Lo is just something that happens by itself. Right, lo tavo alav hashemesh. Tavo alav hashemesh is not something you do. It's just that the day is over, and that's just something that Kodesh Baruch Hu does. Okay. Anyway, so the nefesh hayafa tochlena means that if it's not bal tishaktsu for you, then you could eat it if you're not disgusted by it. Says the Mishnah further, but since it's disgusting and it's not ra'i for everybody, ve'ina matama lo tumas ochlin v'lo tumas nevelos. It doesn't have. It's not tamei b'tumas ochlin, which is only if something is a meichel, and for most people this is not. Also not Tumas Nevelos because it doesn't have a shame Basar. Only that which is Basar Nevela is going to have Tumas Nevela. But if you decide that you want to eat it, so now you've made it a Meichel for you, so now it is Metame Tumas Ochlin for you. Avalo Tumas Nevelos. It's still not Metame Tumas Nevelos. Shilya Sheyatza Miktsasa Asura Ba'achila. Nu Alacha. Let's say some of the Shilya has emerged from the mother while it was still alive, and then you shech the mother. So the whole thing is Asura Ba'achila even after you shech the mother, because we're choshesh that maybe the Rosh of the Ubar came out in that little bit of the amniotic sac that had emerged, and therefore there was a real leda over here, so the shechita of the mother cannot be matir, the vlad or the shilya that goes along with the vlad. Aye, but I didn't see an uber in the shilya. Yeah, but maybe it's nimoach. Maybe it got somehow absorbed and crushed, and you just didn't see it, but the rosh of the vlad was there. Simin vlad be'isha, simin vlad be'behema. If there's a shilya, there must have been a vlad, both by an isha and by a behema, even though you don't see a vlad. If there's an amniotic sac, there was a vlad there somewhere. Hamavakeres sheipil shilya yashlichan l'kalavim. If an animal is giving birth to its firstborn, to its petarechem, and a shilya comes out, you're allowed to throw that to the dogs, even though it definitely has a vlad. The Gemara is going to explain why. Why aren't we choshesh that it has kedushas b'char and you can't throw it to the dogs? So the Gemara is going to say because al pi rov it doesn't have kedushas b'char. It may have been in a keva, and even if it was a zachar, maybe it wasn't viable. Maybe it was deformed. Ubemukdashin tikaver. But if a hegdish animal has a shilya come out of it, then you have to bury it. You have to treat it with respect because over there the majority is that it would have kedusha. The im kovenos of beprashas drachim. When you bury it, don't bury it by a crossroads. Vein tolin osabi ilan. Don't hang it on a tree. Who would do any of these things anyway? May darkei amori. That's the darkei amori. There they had all sorts of superstitious behaviors, and these were certain types of superstitions that the amorim had. So don't do any of that. That's that you're not allowed to engage in things that are darkei amori. Rav Shachter often comments that the Jewish religion is the only religion that asers superstition. That we hold that superstition is absolutely forbidden, and yet the Jewish people sometimes tend to be the most superstitious of all people. Right? We're not supposed to do these ridiculous superstitions that make no sense. That's a violation of the Darkei Amori. So says Gemara Minani Mili, where do I know this idea that a shechita of a behemah is matir the shilya ba'achila as well, the amniotic sac as well, the Tan Rabbanan? Because we have a brayso, the pasuk says kol b'behemah tochelu l'rabu says a shilya. That tells me that you're allowed to eat the shilya when you shech the mother. I might think that even if some of the shilya comes out that it's mutter tamalomar, Osa. Osa v'lo shliyasa. That's where the pasuk says Osa. No, you can eat the bema, but you cannot eat the shliya. So it's a stira. Can I or can't I? So the answer must be it depends. If it partially came out, then you can't. But if it's all still inside the mother, then you can. So michti ein shliya blavlad lamalikra. You know, why do I need a pasuk that if some of the shliya came out, that you're not allowed to eat it? Of course, every shliya always comes along with the vlad. So says Mar, you're right. Kra asmach to bialma. I would have known this misvara. The pasuk is only an asmach to bialma. The real drasha that the pasuk is teaching me is the drasha we learned about a week ago about cutting the spleen and the kidneys of a behema and leaving it inside the behema, that the shchitas behema is not going to be matir those evarim. That's what we really learn from the that's what we really learn from the pasuk. The Eina Metame, the Mishnah had said that it's not Metame to Masochlin nor to Masnevelos. So by Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nafcha, or Chamor Sheshlako Mahu, what if you take the skin of a Chamor and you slow cook it to the point where it becomes soft and edible? Now what's the halacha? Says, what do you mean what's the halacha? Lamai, Lagabe what? Ila Tumas Ochlin, you want to know, does it have Tumas Ochlin? Is it considered a food for Tumas Ochlin? Tanina, well, we already have a brisa that tells us exactly what the halacha is about Or Chamor for Tumas Ochlin, and Ila Tumas Nevelos Tanina. And if your shaila is about whether it has a din of basar as far as Tumas Nevela is concerned, we have a brisa that tells us that as well. Tumas Ochlin, Titania, where do we have a brisa that tells us about its status for Tumas Ochlin? The brisa says, Ha'or Val Shilia Ein Metame Tumas Ochlin. Then the Or in Shilia of a Behemah is not Metame Tumas Ochlin. Or Shlaka Val Shilia Shechishe Valeha Metame Tumas Ochlin. But if you take Or and you slow cook it to the point that it becomes soft and edible, or a Shilia that you decide you want to eat, so even though it's disgusting for most people, then it does have Tumas Ochlin. So you see what the halacha is. That skin that you soften and make edible is Tamei Tumas Ochlin. And not only that, Tumas Nevelos Nami Tanina. We have a brisa that tells us about its status as Tumas Nevelos as well. Pasuk says, Binivlasa, and it's an extra word in the Pasuk, because it could have just said Hanogea Ba, because the Pasuk was already talking about a Nevela, but it says Hanogea Binivlasa Velo Ba'ar. So we darshan, yeah, only if you touch the Basar of the Nevela, but not the R of the Nevela. Velo Ba'atzavos, Velo Ba'gidin, Velo Ba'karnayim. The Bryce is only coming to tell me that these things are not metame, because even though the chorus is never pasha, that they're not like basar, it's telling me that they're not metame even if you cook them really slowly and make them soft and spice them up. Nevertheless, they're still not metame tumas nevelos. So or that's slow cooked is already mentioned in the Bryce of both legabi tumas ochlin and legabi tumas nevelos. So what's your shaila exactly about the or of the chamar? So the olam tumas ochlin, really it's about tumas ochlin and the shayla v'shayin yor chamar demais. I would think that it's true that other types of or you can cook to the point where it becomes a food, but over or of a chamar, maybe I would think is disgusting. You can't do that. That it wouldn't work. Shilya sheyatsa. We then said that a shilya that some of it has come out is asa ba'achila, because we're afraid that the rosh of the fetus came out with it. Amar Rav Elazar lo shanu ella she'eni mavlad. That's only if you didn't see an actual vlad, right? So then you have to be choshesh that maybe the rosh of the vlad was with it. Aval yeshi mavlad. But if you see that the vlad is still inside the mother, there is a vlad and it's still inside the mother, then ein choshem levlad acher. You don't have to worry that maybe there are two vlados and one of them we lost the shilya to, and this shilya belongs to the vlad, right? The lost vlad. Rabbi Yochanan Amar bein eni mavlad, bein yeshi mavlad, choshen levlad acher. That whether there is a vlad still inside the mother or not, you have to be choshish that this shilya belongs to a different vlad that we haven't found, and that therefore a vlad may have come out together with this shilya, and therefore it's going to be aser. Says Amar eni, does Rabbi Lazar say such a thing? Vam Rabbi Yirmiya luchumra Amar Rabbi Lazar. That Rabbi Lazar is the one that's more machmir, but the way we just quoted it, Rabbi Lazar was one that was more megil. He was one that said that if you see the vlad still inside, don't worry about it. Then you know that's the only vlad, and therefore the shilya is going to be mutter. So how can we say that Rabbi Lazar is l'chumra? We must have gotten the conversation wrong. Here's the way to say the machlokas. That Rama Rabbi Lazar l'shanu ella she'ina k'shura b'vlad. Aval k'shura b'vlad ein choshel v'vlad acher. That we only have to be choshesh when this shilya is not directly attached to a vlad, then we have to be choshesh that this shilya has another vlad that's associated with it that might have come out together with it, even though we didn't see it, and even though we still see another vlad inside. But if it's kshura b'vlad, then we know that the vlad that it's kosher to is its vlad, and if that vlad remains inside, then the shilya is going to be kosher. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Anu Ein Lanu Ella Shilya B'lo Vlad. The shilya is only asr ba'achila when it's just a shilya but no vlad. Aval yeshima vlad, but if there's any vlad together with the shilya, bein kshura b'vlad, bein ein kshura b'vlad, whether it's kshura or not kshura, ein choshen l'vlad acher. We don't have to be choshesh for another vlad. Hainu dam Rabbi Yirmiyahu l'chumra amar Rabbi Elazar. And it's in this version that Rabbi Elazar is in fact more machmir. He's the more machmir of the two opinions. Tanya, because he would hold that even if you see a vlad inside, but it's not kshura to the shilya, you have to be choshesh that there's another vlad that was with the shilya, and that rove of that either the rove or the rosh of that vlad came out with the shilya. Tanya kavestes Rabbi Elazar. We have a brisa that says like Rabbi Elazar. Pelas min behema chayiv of. If a woman is mapil what looks like a form of a behema chayin of v'shilya imahen, and there's shilya together with the nefel v'zman shekshura behen, when the shilya is attached to it, ein choshen l'vlad acher. We're not choshesh for another vlad to be associated with this shilya. Ein akshur behen, but if it's not attached to it, hareini matya l'aleha chomer shnei vlados. Then we give it the chomer of two vlados. Shani omer, shemin yimoch shafir shel shilya, v'shemin yimoch shilya so shel shafir. Maybe we're missing one shilya and one vlad, and that this vlad and this shilya don't match up with each other. So the vlad that looks like a behen or a chaya had its shilya, but this isn't it. The shilya that's around must have had another vlad that was associated. So there are two possibilities: which is the vlad of this shilya? If it's a min behem of a chaya, or if it's a vlad gomer, and we have to be choshesh for both possibilities. The chumra, meaning since there's a tzad that it was a vlad gomer, the woman is tamei to masleda, and therefore she's going to be tamei till 80 days later. Right? She gets the full tumah. I mean, she's going to be tamei rather for 2 weeks. Right? The full tumah of a Yoledes Nekeva. But she does not get the subsequent 66 days of Yimei Tahara, because when Choshesh said there was no Vlad Gomer, that all she had was this Min Behema. So we give her the Chumras on both sides. Fine, the Mishnah said, I'm a Vaker Shepila, that if an animal is giving birth to its firstborn, don't worry, the Shilya that comes out, you could just throw it to the dog. So my Taima, why are you allowed to throw it to the Klavim? I ain't Shilya below Vlad. There must have been a Bechor here somewhere, and something that's just Bechor, you certainly can't just throw away. So I'm Ravika Brederami, a Rov Behemos Yodos Dovar, HaKadosh B'Bechorah, Umiyat Yodos Dovar Sheino, Kadosh B'Bechorah, Umayni Unidme. Some Behemos give birth to that which is not kadosh b'bechora. If it's they give birth to an animal that looks like a different type of animal, but if a kol yoldos, yoldos mechzes char mechzes nekevos. Then on top of that, you have 50-50 whether it's male or female. So smoke miyuta denidma lemechzes nekevos vavaluz char miyuta. The chances that it's a male animal of the same kind is less than 50%. And once you get it a smidge under 50%, so then you could follow the rove. Ubi muktashin tikaver. And if it's a hegdish animal, then you have to bury it. My taima, because ruba bar mikdash. Because whether it's a male or female offspring of a kadosh animal, that has kedusha. So all you have is the tiny minority that's a nidme, that's some other min, that wouldn't have kedusha, but everything else would. So therefore, the large majority assumption is that it would have kedusha. They ain't kovrma, so we said, don't bury it by the precious drach, and don't hang it on a tree. That's darkei amori. So abayi v'rava damri tarvayu, kol davar sheyesh bo refua, ein bo mishum darkei amori. Anything that has therapeutic value is not considered darkei amori. Rashba writes in Tshuva, if it works, if we see that it works as a medicine, it's not mishum darkei amori. It doesn't mean that we have to be able to explain exactly how or why it works. We just have to see that it's refuah beduka, that you try it and it works. So ein bo refuah, but something that has no refuah, yesh bo mishum darkei amori. Then it's a violation of just stam superstition. That's a violation of darkei amori. But it's worse than stam superstition. It's darkei amori. Vatanya ilan shemesh peiro. So says wait, we have a brisa that tells us that if you have a tree that keeps losing its fruit, so sokro b'sikra v'toano ba'avanim, you should paint it red and hang rocks on the tree. So bishlam v'toano ba'avanim ki heichi dinich v'shchile. I understand why you would put rocks on it. That should weaken it a little bit. Maybe it's because the tree is so fat and so strong that it's expelling its fruits. So maybe Tono Bavanim will change the kochos of the tree, but El Sokra B'Sukra Amai, painting it red, that's got to be superstition. That doesn't seem like it's going to do anything. So says Gemara, Ki Hechi D'Lachaz Yuinshi V'Libay Rachmi Lavei. No, painting it red is also something that makes sense. What we're doing is we're trying to draw attention to the tree. And by drawing attention to the tree, people will daven that it should be able to produce good fruits, and it's the tefillah that's going to work. Kedetanya, like the Braisa tells us about a mitzora, V'Tamei Tamei Yikra, Shetzarech Lodia L'Rabim, the mitzora should let his tsar be known to the rabbim, V'Rabim V'Akshma L'Avrachim, so that people will daven for him. V'chein Shira Bodavar, someone who had an illness, Tzarech Lodia L'Rabim, let people know, V'Rabim V'Akshma L'Avrachim. Sometimes people don't want other people to know when there's an illness. They think that it's because the svara is that it's going to require a greater nace to once it's yadua that there's an illness. Maybe if it would require a nace and a chinami, you're not allowed to daven for a nace, maybe an chinami. But if it's not a point of a nace, it's a point of just, you know, that the person should have a refuah, so better for everybody to know, so you can have everyone daven for rachamim. Amar Ravina kamantalin on kufsa bedikla. Who do we hold like when we allow hanging a cluster of tamarim on a dekel tree? So kaman kiatana, we're assuming like the tana of this brisa, that we are letting the tsar be known to the rabbim, so that people could be mevakesh rachamim, that it shouldn't lose its payrolls. Okay? Hadron lach payim ha-makashah, tomorrow we'll begin parak, also vespinah.